This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the best for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves and provides strategies and solutions for your biggest financial challenges.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW. 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome, folks. I don't know about you, but I hate fake news. Yeah, that statement's become really popular around the politics of late, but I'm not here to talk about politics. Although, maybe off the show, love to do it because, you know, I'm a junkie like many people are, as you know, Jim, because you have to put up with me coming. Jim and I ride together. Jim Stewart, how you doing, buddy? We ride together, and I'm, you know, I got my ears glued to the, you know, to the fake news of the day. And by the way, it's both parties. I'm totally agnostic on this. They all come out with the fake news, and it drives me crazy. But I'm talking about the fake news of finance, and there's a bunch of it. And one of the ones I want to tackle today is the I hate annuities fake news. And I will debunk that. And this is a billionaire, by the way, money manager, who hates them and says you should too. I will debunk that with academic studies on the subject. I will read from an academic study. And there's been way more than one. If there's been one, there's probably been two dozen of them that I could probably put my fingers on within an hour or so. So the fake news of finance, we'll get to that. But first, we start with something I really wanted to cover because so many people make this mistake when they invest their money. They have something called recency bias. What is it? Sit back, relax, I'll tell you all about it. Matter of fact, I'm going to read from something that was in the New York Times a while back that was written by Carl Richards, a really smart guy who he's got a blog and all this stuff. He's from Park City, Utah, one of my favorite places. And he studies behavioral finance. I think he's written a book or wrote a book once upon a time called the Behavior Gap or something like that. Really, really a smart advisor, financial planner type dude. Here's what he wrote in the New York Times a while back. Every day, we rely on habit to get a lot of things done. We commute the same way to work every day, we eat at the same restaurants, and we shop at the same stores. Although I used to shop at Nordstrom's. I'm not going to anymore. Sorry. Don't like your politics either. And that has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. I think it has to do with lying to us about why you dumping Ivanka Trump's stuff. Okay? There's my political statement. I digress. We rely on habit to help us make things easier because few people want to reinvent their lives every day. But this habit of forming habits, also does something else. In academic circles, it's called the recency bias, and it can trick us into making decisions we might not make otherwise. So true when it comes to investing. I want you to think about this and think about the investment moves you've made in the past and what motivated you to make them. The recency bias is pretty simple because it's easier. We're inclined to use our recent experience as the baseline for what will happen in the future. In many situations, this bias works just fine, but when it comes to investing and money, it can cause problems. When we're watching a bull market run along, it's understandable that people forget about the cycles where it didn't. As far as recent memory tells us, the market should keep going up, so we keep buying and then it doesn't. And then unless we've prepared for that moment, we're shocked and wondered how we missed the bubble. Come on, be honest with me. I want you to think back to 2008 and think of, you know, what happened in the recent past of 2000. Don't you remember we hit a record high in, what was it, September, October of 2007? And so many people who had gotten burned in the crash in the early 2000s had stayed out until they started seeing all the headlines about stock hitting record highs and all that stuff. And they jumped in because of their recency bias, only to what? Allow me to read on. When the market is down, we become convinced that it will never climb out, so we cash out our portfolios and stick the money in the mattress. We know the market isn't going back up because the recency bias tells us so. But then one day it does, and we're left sitting on really expensive mattresses that earn nothing. So true. The point isn't that you shouldn't have predicted the timing of the bubble or the upswing, but that you should have considered both possibilities as potential outcomes and planned accordingly. Absolutely right. It's why on this program we don't talk about individual stocks jumping in, jumping out, market timing, predicting the future, because we can't. We can't. But what we can do is help you understand the strategy behind, or you develop your strategy behind how you will deal with these potential inevitabilities. And it is, by the way, inevitable. The market is going to crash, and the market is going to crash hard. I don't know when. It could be 15 years or 20 years from now. It could be tomorrow. I don't know. I just don't know. Nor does anyone else. Instead of taking the long view and considering as many factors as possible, like the market going up or down for an extended period of time, we settle into a rut and keep behaving as though nothing will ever get us out of it. Being prepared and recognizing that the bias exists costs very little. I think of it like the winter weather kit anyone who lives in the mountains should keep in their car. I hear about these stories all the time, how people got stuck in the snow and they died and et cetera, et cetera. Do you have a winter weather kit? I don't have a winter. We live in San Diego, California. What do we need a winter weather kit for?
You know me.
You've got everything. You've
fire
got, what do you call that? What do you call
emergency.
That thing your son has? A breakaway kit or what?
Bug out bag.
A bug out bag where he can like survive for
90 days anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. That's paranoia, folks. I'm sorry. That's just paranoia. Anyway, even though I've never been stranded traveling in the winter, he says, I know I should have a kit in the car with water, food, and other stuff to help me survive if I do. Okay, maybe. I'm not going to do it. I probably should. I don't know. Take up too much room. And by the way, what kind of food? Are you going to get lasagna? I'm not getting lasagna. We've got to get over this idea that because something has never happened, at least not in the last 6 months anyway, that it won't happen in the future. All things considered, he goes on, it's pretty easy to put some plans in place to help see us through the ups and downs. So quit letting yesterday be the only thing to determine what you do tomorrow with your money. It's brilliant advice from Carl Richards, New York Times, from a while back. But I keep that because I've got to constantly remind myself. Back in the days when I was a broker, and you remember this stuff, clients would come to you and say, well, your mutual fund isn't as doing as well as the market. And so you'd go back and you'd look at mutual funds that did do as well, if not better, than the market. And you'd say, well, you know what? Look, Charlie, look at this fund I found you. And of course, Charlie would say, wow, look at the performance of that guy. He beat the market by 500 basis points. I want you to switch me out of fund A, put me in fund B. Yeah, sure, Charlie. No skin off my nose. I'm still getting paid either way. And what would happen is fund A ended up outperforming fund B because recency bias caused us to jump into a fund that had either guessed right or figured it out or bought the type of stocks, for example, that were in favor during that period of time, but those same stocks that were in favor, because we live in a cyclic world, go out of favor. And it's just like jumping in and out of the market, jumping in and out of funds. Most of the time, you will make the wrong decision at the wrong time. And I see this all the time with the indexing versus active management argument. Recently, 82% or whatever the number is of actively managed funds have not beat the index. But if you go back 30 years, you will find it's about a 50-50 mix on one versus the other. I looked that up the other day in a white paper by Hartford that I'll tell you more about on another show. But just understand recency bias and have a strategy to help you understand what to do.
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. We're going to talk about this whole fake news thing here in a minute, especially as it relates to product diversification. You've heard me talk quite a bit about product diversification and how important it is. But if you, once again, follow what the media is saying and the advertisements on television and so forth are saying, you would never diversify. You would just give all of your money to a billionaire money manager. I will get to that. But first, I want to tell you about our brand new phone system here we have in the Ray Lucia program. It's called VTech. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. It's a brand new four-line small business phone system, the perfect solution for your business. If you're a small, if you got 100 people, you may need a different system. But if you got 10, 12, 15 people, your little studio like this one, it's beauteous. It really is. It's great. What you get is an auto attendant for each line, a digital answering machine with mailboxes for every extension, full duplex speakerphones, music on hold, power failure operation, and the six-party conferencing. If I had four other friends besides Jim Stewart, we could have a six-party conference. It gets a little lonely here. But it's fantastic because with minimal IT experience, you can wirelessly register up to 9 expandable components. Now, Stewart knows what that means because he's the guy that's responsible for putting it all together. You're one of those tech nerdy guys. To me, I looked at the box and I said, nah. But it's pretty simple, huh?
It's a plug and play. You just stick the phone line in the back and you're off and running.
See, that's something even I could do. Do this, folks. Go to www.vtechphones.com. VTechPhones.com. It may be exactly what your small business needs. VTechPhones.com. Okay, on to fake news. Every night. The reason I'm talking about this today is I want to throw a brick through my television just about every night. Yes, because I see this guy who comes on and says, if you are sold an annuity, you probably got ripped off. And he doesn't talk about which kind of an annuity or whether or not annuities are good for you or the features and benefits of those that make sense. And this is not a pitch for annuities because I don't sell them anymore. I used to years ago, but I don't. I just want to bring you the facts. And as you know, on this program, we make every attempt to back up what we talk about with factual data. So, the fake news of finance. I hate annuities, and you should too. Not true. Absolutely not true. So I turned to a study that was done called the Retirement Income Challenge, Deferred Income Annuities Before Retirement by Michael Fink, PhD, CFP, and Wade D. Fowle, PhD, CFA. Now, these guys are smart. We're talking about the American College, Texas Tech University, and they back everything up with all of the data. If you care to read these studies. Just go online. You can find it easy enough. The Retirement Income Challenge by Fink and Fau, P-F-A-U. Let me read from the executive summary. Oh, and it's a lot. Setting aside assets before retirement to buy a deferred income annuity places a portion of the retirement portfolio into a bond-like financial vehicle, and these funds should be viewed as such when evaluating the overall asset allocation from the household balance sheet perspective. Oh, okay, so let's start with the fake news. Fake news says you ought to have a portfolio of stocks and bonds because you need to have some bonds in your portfolio. The real news is, sure, that's true. But there are alternatives to bonds called deferred income annuities that may give you a benefit that extends beyond the benefits you may be able to get by bonds. Not saying don't have them in your portfolio, but product diversification. I read on. Again, this is all academically proven out. It's not my hyperbole. I'll let you know about my hyperbole because I have the tendency to hyperb quite a bit. But not now. In this paper, they go on. The cost of retirement is defined as the actual cost of paying for a given income in retirement in the face of unknown variables such as longevity and asset returns. When a retirement plan allocates a portion of its assets to a DIA, deferred income annuity, the average cost of retirement is reduced by softening the financial blow of a long lifetime or poor market returns. Okay, I ask you this question in the fake news department. Can any money manager look you in the eye, or financial planner or advisor, can any of them look you in the eye and say, my plan is bulletproof, even if you outlive your life expectancy, or the market returns suck for the next 10 years? Because if either one of those two or both of those things happen, you're eating dog food with the guy on TV. And by the way, if your advisor is worth his or her salt, do they not start with managing risk first? Do they not start before they fly the airplane? Don't they have a checklist that they go through? Why don't you have a checklist? The what happens if checklist? What happens if Jim Stewart ends up in a freaking nursing home at $8,000 a month? Have you thought about that one?
Never.
What happens if an individual's portfolio gets creamed by 57% and the next 7, 8, 9 years doesn't earn what it's earned the last 7, 8, or 9 years? That's been a great blessing to those that got creamed in 2008. But most people that I know got out of the market, and many of them still not gotten back. So they haven't enjoyed this 300% recovery. Next, the purchase of a deferred income annuity before retirement is particularly valuable for individuals who have maintained a stock allocation lower than 70%. The trade-off is that retirees would have been better off without a DIA in simulations where portfolio returns are very high or when retirees die early. You want to make that bet? First off, you have to allocate more than 70% of your net worth to stocks, and then you have to hope you die early. Our findings suggest that short deferral DIAs can reduce the cost of funding retirement, provide longevity protection, and provide important behavioral benefits to individuals concerned about near-retirement market performance. It's fake news, folks. It's fake news. You need to have portfolio diversification. And queen. We'll take a break, come back. More on this topic. More on, get it? More on this topic? Yeah, sorry. When we come back. Now just listen to these guys. This is just fantastic stuff. Thanks, boys. Doing a good job.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
You to America TV.
Wooden ships on the water, very free. Easy, you know the way it's supposed to be.
That was the Jefferson Airplane version of Wooden Ships. Curtis told me about that. I didn't know. I thought it was a Crosby, Stills, and Nash original. I still like the CSN version better, Curtis, but thanks for it anyway. Maybe we'll bring you that one on another show. I'm talking about fake news today, folks, and in finance. The fake news, and there's a lot of it. There is a lot. I could spend full time debunking a lot of the fake news that exists in finance. But the one today deals with the whole concept of stocks, bonds, and cash and other alternative investments, as opposed to other product diversification. And I'm referring to an academic study done by Michael Fink, PhD, CFP, and Wade D. Fowle, PhD, CFA, the Retirement Income Challenge, Deferred Income Annuities Before Retirement. Because if you're like me and you watch television, you're seeing this commercial that comes on all the time, or you go through the bookstores in the airport or wherever, you pick up publications, I hate annuities, and you see a very well-heeled money manager basically telling you, don't buy them, you're getting ripped off, et cetera, et cetera. But then the academics go into the finance lab and say, well, wait a minute, maybe not so fast. I'll finish with the conclusions from this study, which you can look up on your own. There are two primary reasons, they go on to say, to purchase a deferred income annuity. The first is to lock in retirement income prior to retirement in order to avoid the possibility that a poor sequence of asset returns will jeopardize retirement income sustainability. Absolutely. Even the best money managers, even those that have, you know, a low downside capture ratio still get burned if the downside happens early in retirement. And nobody can prevent that. No one knows when the market's going to crater. And if it happens in your first decade or so of retirement, you're screwed. You're screwed. I'll read on. This is from the academic study, once again, entitled The Retirement Income Challenge, Deferred Income Annuities Before Retirement. A pre-retirement DIA purchase can also provide a psychological benefit to an individual who is able to take current gains off the table and buy an income that will last a lifetime. Yeah, they never talk about the psychological benefit of having a guaranteed paycheck. They don't talk about that stuff. They don't talk about the sleepless nights that you have to go through when you're 72 years old wondering whether you're going to be eating Alpo the next day. There is an enormous psychological benefit. There have been studies on this. Our simulations show that pre-retirement purchase of a DIA can significantly reduce the likelihood of negative outcomes that can endanger an individual's ability to maintain a desired spending goal. The second reason to purchase a DIA is to protect against the risk of running out of money in old age. While this, while not considered in detail in this paper, a DIA with a longer post-retirement deferral period can be seen as an insurance product that pays out a significant income per dollar of premium later in retirement when a client is most at risk of outliving assets. The use of a DIA for longevity protection may also be an important psychological tool that reduces the anxiety of short-run portfolio volatility by ensuring that the individual will never bear substantial lifestyle risk later in life.
Yeah, I call it, before you can sail into retirement, you have to float the boat. And so you don't want to run aground at any time.
They go on to say, James, because a partial annuitization DIA strategy, because that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about taking all of your money and doing this. It's not an all or nothing thing. Remember, we're talking about product diversification, stocks, bonds, cash. Why isn't it stocks, bonds, cash, and real estate? Why isn't it stocks, bonds, cash, real estate, and deferred income annuities? Why not? Why does it just have to be stocks, bonds, and cash? Because that's what the money manager charges fees on? Is that why? Because a partial annuitization DIA strategy shifts a percentage of the portfolio into a bond-like financial vehicle, the percentage stock allocation in the rest of the portfolio will need to be increased to match the level of portfolio risk that would exist in a non-annuitized portfolio. This is important because when you add this component to your retirement portfolio, you have made it far less risky. So what you do is you dial the risk back up with the balance of the portfolio, leaving you with the same risk that you had before. But now you've allocated more of the portfolio to something that does pay off over longer time periods, namely stocks. And I will add real estate to that. Finally, they say by providing a guaranteed income for life, DIAs may also serve as insurance against the risk of poor financial decisions due to cognitive decline later in life. Oh, that's not going to happen to me. I will have all of my wife, when I'm driving, questions my cognitive abilities right now. She says, we got to get you checked out because I daydream and I plan for this show while I'm driving and I miss turns. I missed the turn and going to Encinitas because, like I said, I'm taking my wife to Las Vegas this weekend and we're dropping the dogs off at a kennel type place and we were driving to this place in Encinitas that's got, you know, like suites. My dogs are treated better than I am treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in either event, I missed the turn. And she said, what's wrong with you? You've turned on Encinitas Boulevard 1,000 times. How could you miss it? Got to get you checked out, she says. I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. But you know what's going to happen, don't you? Don't you know what's going to happen? Or are you going to basically ignore the true fact of life that since about age 50, you start to decline in your cognitive abilities? Many retirees will lose their ability to manage an investment portfolio later in life, either gradually from natural cognitive aging or suddenly from a disease such as Alzheimer's. Research shows that dementia is an important source of risk that can likely affect the likelihood of depleting portfolio assets later in life. A DIA hedges against this risk, especially if the DIA has a longer deferral period that begins making annuity payments when rates of dementia begin to climb after 80. I would add, if you added inflation protection or some mechanism of inflation protection. Now, to go after the guy on television, they don't talk about the different types of annuities. In fact, what he alludes to when he talks about the fees and the commissions that the broker makes, he is alluding to a certain type of annuity that competes with stocks. You don't, buy, according to this study, you don't buy an annuity to compete with the stock market investments. That would be foolish for a number of different reasons. Number one, tax reasons. Stocks receive a step up in basis at death. Annuities do not. So stocks better than annuities in that regard. And by the way, if you were to add a life insurance policy to this, I'll cover that on another show. It's the best of all worlds in product diversification. I just don't have time to get to that aspect of planning. But it is true, and I will do it. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Don't know. But when you talk about this whole stocks, bonds, and cash thing, and you leave out the importance of product diversification, you're swimming upstream with one arm tied behind your back. You could make retirement so much easier. You could reduce the cost of retirement by a ton and still leave your heirs better off than had you not done so by that minor tweak in the amount of stocks left over in your portfolio, assuming you live to life expectancy. So do you want to bet on dying early. If you do, don't do this. Give the guy on TV your money or somebody else and say, have at it, buddy. See if you can beat the odds. Because if you beat the odds and live longer, I can almost assure you, no money manager will be able to help you beat the odds of not running out of money if the markets don't totally cooperate. And when have you known them to cooperate with you and your financial situation? Emails coming up next. Thank you for indulging me. So important for you to have product diversification. Now the better song, Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
We are leaving. You don't need us.
December, like a child who clings onto his mother's leg. It was up to my knees, babe.
Wow, is that, that's your pastor's daughter? Is that what you said, Curtis? Oh, wow, that she sounds like Joni Mitchell. That's pretty cool, man. Can she sing Woodstock? Why don't you have her sing Woodstock and we'll play it? Welcome back, folks. It's the Ray Lucia Show. You know, I've been focused here today on this whole fake news business. And I guess the point is, there's so much crap that's going on in the investment world and the financial world. And everybody's got their own idea of what reality is. And I just ask you to take a step back and look at the documentation. I quoted a study that was done by Michael Fink and Wade Fowle, the Retirement Income Challenge. But you don't need to stop there. There was another study done by Northwestern Mutual, and it talks about some new research that shows why you need more than one source of retirement income, not just a 401k plan or a pension. You need multiple sources of retirement income, and I think they're quoting from another different Michael Fink study. And I'll get a chance to talk about that at some point in the future. But if you spend as much time on this stuff as I do, studying it with some semblance of objectivity, you conclude that, of course, you need the good stock pickers and the money managers and the index funds and the asset allocation and the rebalancing and all the stuff that's commonplace today in the investment management world. But to ignore a significant portion of the assets that exist, the invested assets that exist in this country and around the world, invested. I mean, there's got to be a reason that these insurance companies literally have billions and trillions of dollars invested. Is everybody all around the world an idiot? I had lunch the other day with a good friend of mine that ran a multinational insurance company, and he was stationed in Tokyo for 8 or 10 years, and we were talking about what companies do in because I've never worked in, you know, Hong Kong or anything like that. And he was explaining to me how many of these products are used overseas, and it's similar to how we use them here. It seems that they are maybe more attracted to them in Great Britain. The banks sell this stuff regularly. So bottom line, and I'll get to the emails, don't ignore some of the obvious things that you should be taking into consideration when planning your retirement. Follow the academic research, and then if it doesn't work out as it's put on paper, the worst thing that happens is you still enjoy your life in retirement and sleep like a baby at night. Okay, hit it, boys. Let's do some emails here. I sleep like a baby at night myself, as a matter of fact. I get up every, 30 or 45 minutes as I wet the bed. No, just kidding. I do get up quite a bit, though. Too much information, I know. Sally asks this question. Why did I get taxable income from my mutual fund when I didn't get any growth or income? Well, first of all, it surprises me, Sally, that you owned a mutual fund like last year and didn't get any growth. That must have been one dog of a fund. But be that as it may, remember, we talk about this every November, December. Mutual funds distribute their capital gains late in the year. And they distribute those capital gains, and you get tagged with a 1099, irrespective of whether or not there was an actual gain in your particular fund. Remember, they may have owned a particular stock for the last 5 years in that mutual fund, and they may have bought it at 10 bucks a share, and it's now 50 bucks a share, and they say, you know what, it's reached our price target, we're going to sell it, or we're going to sell part of it. When they make that sale, that's a $40 in this example, a $40 capital gain. That capital gain is realized to the shareholders. You're a shareholder. So they've got to send you a 1099. Now, if in fact they sold it at 50 bucks a share and the other stocks in the portfolio went down, so even though that one stock made them money, the rest of the portfolio lost them money, you could have a loss in the overall mutual fund while at the same time have a gain because of these big run-ups that we've seen in a majority of stocks over the last several years. So it's just a fact of life. And one of the pitfalls, by the way, of buying a mutual fund. If you are invested, for example, in a managed account, then you might have a little more control over that. That's one of the advantages of an index fund, although not totally, because index funds like the S&P have 25 to 35% turnover in any given year. Or if you own individual stocks yourself, you have total control over that. You still have to pay taxes on the dividends because there's nothing to do about that. But capital gains only happen if there is a sale and a gain at the same time. Now, you can match up your losses against your gains. You can do what they call tax loss harvesting. And this is one of the reasons why having a relationship with a portfolio manager with what is called a separate account might make a little bit more sense than a mutual fund with you and 20,000 of your closest friends also investing. Because when the market craters and all of your close friends decide to sell, all those stocks that had gains are liquidated and those gains are realized. And even though you didn't sell, you're still getting tagged with a gain. That's why it happened. Fred, I received a K-1 form. What is it? Well, that's a tax form from some kind of a partnership that you're in, whether it's a limited partnership or it could be an oil and gas stock that you buy. If it is a business, then you're going to get a K-1. If it's a stock, then you'll get a 1099. So that's important. A REIT, for example, you've had this question before, that's a stock. So REITs give you 1099s. But a lot of the oil and gas partnerships and pipeline deals and so forth, those issue K-1s. Isn't that right, Jim? You're the tax guy.
That's right. Essentially, it's a partnership and an investment, so that's your share of the taxable gain.
Right, and you do have to report that even on an IRA. Even in an IRA, you get like a $1,000 exemption, but that's what they call unrelated business taxable income. More on that on another show. I'm out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please tell all your friends to listen to the Ray Lucia Show. God bless you. Make it a great day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Ray Lucia Show, taking calls from across the nation and answering questions about your biggest financial challenges. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions at 844-RAY-SHOW or online at raylucia.com.